Thank you, Ms. Diana. Well done. Thank you, Melba, and for giving us some feedback from our conference. Rejoice, ye pure in heart. Actually, rejoice all the rest of us, too. Think about that. Are you all pure of heart? I was driving last week, I have to tell you. Fella behind me, we both changed lanes at the same time. And for some reason, that was the most heinous offense that he had ever seen in his life. And he expressed it with his car horn and with waving of arms and gestures and what have you. Melissa was in the car with me, and I said nothing, did nothing. I don't think she was aware it happened. Thank you, Lord. But my heart was not pure at that moment. Your pastor is not perfect. Your pastor has feet of clay. I am reminded of that often as I stumble and fall down. But I am so glad for the saints. This is All Saints, All Hallowed Saints, Ian. I don't know why newscasters call it hallowed saints, as if they are empty. But we won't go down that path. And the United Methodist Church doesn't do a great deal on saints. We just aren't in that genre. John Wesley kind of broke away from that as kind of a direction that we didn't need to go. So we can borrow, though, from our Lutheran friends, our Catholic friends, and from our different references. I cannot lift some of the saints who are saints from here at Burns. Those of you who have been here more than a couple of years, I smile. Those of you know some of those saints who have gone before. This church named after the Burns family and someone in that family. So some of those saints that have done so much and provided with and helped bring us to this place, when we pause and acknowledge them, if you know them, and they are at rest. We acknowledge the saints out of the apostles. You remember the gathering with Jesus, the apostles. There was John, and there was Bartholomew, and there was Matthew, and there was St. Thomas, the saint, not the island. There's St. Peter was there. And St. Peter, I don't know how much language you know, but Peter is Petros, and it means rock. So I'm actually Pastor Rock. Doesn't quite work, does it? It just doesn't go there. Thank you, I rock. Jesus is the rock, and he rolls my blues away. Never mind. This was not the direction the sermon was headed. I don't know how. Lord, you lead, I follow. Jesus turned to Simon Peter and said, upon this rock I build my church. Upon this Petros, upon St. Peter, upon Peter, the big, burly, outspoken leader of the apostles, upon this I build the church, the first pope. Amen. Wow, wonderful. I want to read the next three couple of verses. Do you by chance have that scripture? I want to pick up Matthew 8, 31 through 33. Paya, do you by chance have that? Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said this all quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. For you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. So this rock upon which Jesus is founding his church, this Saint Peter, one of the saints of the hallowed apostles, is a mix of godliness and devilishness. Good start for the church, because it acknowledges all of us. Some of you are all godliness, I am sure, but the rest of us are a mix of godliness and devilishness, are we not? Are we not?
We are.
You didn't have to make a confession out of that. There are other saints. There are lots of other saints, and we think about them, and that's important to me. There are personal saints in my life that won't be your saints. But think a moment for those about those who have been saints that have gone before, that have helped you be who you are in your godliness. Think of them. Your minds are drifting to those, and we give thanks for them. We acknowledge them. And we offer them love even in our grief of losing them from us here. But we acknowledge those great saints. I want to lift a few, and you'll see why I'm picking the specific several. I've had several lives. One of my lives was a civil engineer. I worked for the city of Grand Junction. And in the office there, there were several different engineers. One of them was a traffic engineer. Do you know what a traffic engineer does? They figure out what streets need to be expanded and where the crosswalks need to be and do all of those different things that engineers do to plan and make for a safer world. And the traffic engineer is the head of the traffic division. The traffic division, if you have a street light that's out, you call, it will be the traffic division that will come and repair the street light. If you have a street sign that's missing, they will come and repair it. That's the street division. If you are painting a crosswalk or a sign or some symbols on the street, that's the traffic division. Well, the foreman of the traffic division, he loved to get the traffic engineer's goat. Traffic engineer was an amazing man. He was a Christian. He was caring. He was in the middle of the world, busy and fully engaged, and he didn't appear evangelical, but he preached Christ without ever saying Christ. He lived that life. He was an amazing man to me until he and this foreman would get crosswise. And boy, the traffic engineer, he would demonstrate his feet of clay. He got his goat every time. He would misspell street signs. And the traffic engineer would come in, and he was just angry. Demonstrating his Christianity, but also his feet of clay. I was fortunate to serve. My first full-time appointment was with Reverend Keith Merriman. And I do believe that I am still in ministry because of that year. He helped solidify me and helped me see what true ministry was and see around some of the convolutions and difficulties that occur with ministry and with congregations and with conference. He gave me a foundation, if you will. Keith was incredible. Keith was also a good friend as well as a mentor. But I saw him once make an administrative error. Grievous error. It was one of those that you look back and say, Lord, how in the world, and how do we take that back? And you can't. Some of you might have had that once or twice in your life. But it reminded me that Keith had feet of clay as well. And when I have made those same sets of errors in life, and I have made errors, and Paya has caught most of them, but as I am about being in the world, that ministry of understanding that we do have feet of clay has been important. But my greatest saint is my father. I've mentioned this before. He was a Presbyterian minister's son, born in 1929. So he was on the tail end of the Depression and living as a pastor's son, a PK, pastor's kid. He grew up that way with his brother. And he was amazingly patient with me. Now, you have to imagine how patient he must have been to put up with me. You understand. His phrase that was helpful was, don't tighten up. Don't tighten up. I have changed that for me. It is, be in non-anxious presence. There are times when things are going on and I'm just in the midst of it all and I realize what I need to do is be a non-anxious presence. Don't tighten up. My dad was amazing. But as an adult, one day we were sitting in the kitchen and I was talking about a sermon I was working on temptations. I know none of you know anything about temptations, but just bear with me, if you will. That was a bit of humor. But as we're thinking about temptations, I said, you know, Dad, the common temptations, money, beauty, fame, or status, or personal safety, or even nationality can be a temptation. Family can be a temptation. And all of those different temptations, and sexuality is a temptation for many. Gambling is a temptation. Speeding is a temptation. They say the last reformed part of any Christian is their right foot. So I said, Dad, what do you think your temptation is? And without a second's pause, he said, money. And I paused and I realized that in his generation growing up, they had nothing. And that as kids, there were six of us, and he was raising us on a teacher's salary. That was our only income. And getting the food on the table was primary, and paying the mortgage, and money was tight. I remember he would drive 10 miles out of the way to get cheaper gas. He used to drive us nuts. But there was temptations. Even this man of great patience, his temptations, and he knew them. Just like Jesus, you recall Jesus, when he begins his ministry, he is tempted. He goes out into the wilderness and he is tempted by all those possible temptations that might draw him away from his straight and pure path. We do well if we name our passions and our temptations so that we might be armored against them. Because you see, most humans have feet of clay. I almost did a hymn that I've never sung and that I've never heard sung here. 262. Barbara, I don't know. She's. Oh, hi there. I don't know if we've ever sung it. It's called Silence, Frenzied, Unclean Spirit, Thomas Troger. He was a professor at Iliff while I was there. I never had a class with him, but he wrote the lyrics, and the lyrics, I just need to read you these lyrics, and I want you to pause and listen to what Troger wrote. Silence, frenzied, unclean spirit, cried God's healing Holy One. Cease your ranting. Flesh can't bear it. Flee as night before the sun. At Christ's words, the demons trembled. From its victim madly rushed, while the crowd that was assembled stood in wonder, stunned and hushed. Lord, the demons still are thriving in the gray cells of the mind, tyrant voices shrill and driving, twisted thoughts that grip and bind, doubts that stir the heart to panic, fears distorting reason's sight, guilt that makes our loving frantic, dreams that cloud the soul with fright. Silence, Lord, the unclean spirit in our mind and in our heart. Speak your word that when we hear it, all our demons shall depart. Clear our thought and calm our feelings. Still the fractured, warring soul. By the power of your healing, make us faithful, true, and whole. I don't know if we'll learn that hymn or not, but the words speak to me. They are about that temptation and those feet of clay, and knowing that there is one saint that we can follow without feet of clay. It is the Messiah. It is Christ. The one that faced his temptations and did not stray. The one that is pure, that knows our temptations, faced the same, and yet did not falter. Yea, rejoice, ye young in heart. Rejoice, the pure in heart. Rejoice that we have Christ. Amen.